time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Hey, good afternoon. It's 16 after 12 after 1 in Manitoba, and pleasure again to fill in today for Doug Faulkner on GX on Agriculture. And boy, do we ever have a lot of ground to cover on the program today, including Statistics Canada releasing the June seeding intentions report. Over 25,000 farmers responded to that survey, including well over 6,000 here in Saskatchewan. They were surveyed back around the middle of May to find out what they were seeding. And we do know that some crops, of course, are seeing more acreage this year, some less, including canola, which is down 4.7% below the 2021 area. We'll get all the details on which crops are up and which ones are down. Also, Terry Lang, Saskatchewan meteorologist with Environment Canada, will join us on the program today. We'll talk about June weather statistics. Many parts of the province received less than normal rainfall during the month of June, including the Yorkton area. So we'll have more on that. And we'll also look into crop hail claims, which occurred in Saskatchewan across the prairies over the last couple of months here. We'll hear from Tyson Ryerchuk with Rain and Hail Insurance Service. Those stories and more coming up today on GX on Agriculture. The Beef and Forage Report is coming up next. There was a lot of variability in rainfall last month, as illustrated in the June weather stats. The largest amounts were recorded in the northwest part of the province, according to Terry Lang, a meteorologist with Environment Canada based in Saskatoon.
Meadow Lake came in with their second wettest June on record, very, very wet. As well, North Battleford came in wet also, and they had one day where they got over 100 mils of rain in one day alone. So really brought up those averages.
Prince Albert had just under 80 millimeters of rain last month, or 116% of normal. Lang says the rainfall totals in Saskatoon were extremely variable for June, due mostly to a storm on the 20th.
Only 38 mils fell at the airport for the month of June, but like for myself, I recorded for the month that I'm on the east side, I recorded just under 100 millimeters for the month. So that's a difference of, you know, almost 60 millimeters, you know, not a very far amount of space, really.
Lang says it was very dry in the Regina area, with the following reading at that city's airport.
They only had 13.1 millimeters compared to their average of close to 71. We know that there was other storms that moved, you know, through that city as well and missed the airport, but that came in as the third driest June on record, and that's 137 years of record, too. Estevan came in dry, 27th driest with 52 millimeters. And even Yorkton that received some storms, they came in with about 60 mils compared to how they were supposed to get about, on average, 80 mils. So it came in dry as well. So lots of variability, which is very common for these types of patterns with the showers and thunder showers.
There were 8 confirmed tornadoes in June, including 5 on June 29th. That's consistent with the long-term average. However, Lang notes there were far fewer lightning strikes for the month.
57% of average lightning strikes for June, which I found quite interesting because we've had the stormy weather, we've had the tornadoes, we've had the hail, we've had the heavy rains, but we haven't had a lot of lightning with that. So a bit of a surprising statistic there.
And Lang expects unsettled weather to continue for the remainder of this week.
Looks like there's a good chance of some severe weather coming up this week, so people could just be paying a little bit closer attention to the forecasts and to the alerts and stuff like that. That would be great, just because we can see sort of that increased risk. We are starting to see some warmer weather trying to move in after all of this time. We still haven't seen big outbreaks of heat or anything like that so far this summer. The temperatures have really been struggling to get really hot, but we are seeing some warmer temperatures coming in on the horizon. Average temperatures for this time of year are around 25 degrees. So looks like we're trying to get into those upper 20s, particularly towards the end of the week.
Terry Lang is a meteorologist with Environment Canada in Saskatoon. It's 12:28 now, 1:28 in Manitoba. Time for the Beef and Forage Report, a presentation of Lane Realty. When it's time to sell the farm, call Lane Realty, your trusted and experienced farmland real estate company. To include your property for showings, call 620-7260 or visit lanerealty.com.
Beef and Forage Report.
A new online tool may help producers identify Yawney's disease and to develop a management program moving forward. The tool was developed by a team led by Dr. Cheryl Waldner at the University of Saskatchewan. Waldner says the rise in positive Yawney's cases could be linked to industry consolidation of herds. She notes that 7 times more beef producers are nearing retirement than are entering the industry, and says that consolidation can highlight emerging challenges to disease control in cow-calf herds. It can be difficult to identify an outbreak of Yawney's, as infected herds can go unnoticed due to long, latent, or dormant infection periods and nonspecific symptoms. Leaving an outbreak untreated could have serious long-term effects on a herd. The new online tool was designed to help producers and veterinarians evaluate various testing scenarios and options to get a clearer picture of what a management program can look like for their herd. Walter says the interactive calculator is designed to determine the best testing strategy for any particular herd that balances accurate information and economics. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report.
GX94, AgriView.
There were no major surprises in this morning's seeded acreage report from Statistics Canada. Approximately 25,000 farmers, including 6,200 in Saskatchewan, were surveyed from May 13th to June 12th. Some producers in eastern Saskatchewan and Manitoba were seeding well into June due to excessive spring moisture, and that could have some impact on the numbers. StatsCan estimates 21.4 million acres of canola were seeded, which is about 500,000 tons above the March forecast, but 4.7% below the 2021 area. In Saskatchewan, canola acreage is pegged at 11.4 million acres, down 6% compared to last year. Spring wheat area is listed at 18.2 million acres, up just over 10% from last year. In Saskatchewan, spring wheat area is 8.3 million acres, an 11.7% jump over last year. Durum is estimated at 4.9 million acres, up 7.6%. StatsCan pegs barley area at 7 million acres, but some analysts believe this number is low due to changes in seeding plans following excessive moisture over the eastern prairies. Here in Saskatchewan, barley area is forecast at 2.8 million acres, down 25% from last year. National oat area is believed to be more than 4 million acres, up about 16% from last year. The Saskatchewan estimate is 1.9 million acres, up 14.5%. Turning to pulses, Saskatchewan farmers indicated a 13.9% decline for peas to 1.8 million acres. Lentils were pretty close to last year's mark of 3.8 million. Saskatchewan flax area is down almost 25% to 597,000 acres. Mustard jumped 71% to 403,000 acres, and canary seed is down 8.4% to 270,000 acres. The global wheat market was active last week, with purchases originating from Middle East buyers. Michael Wilton is with Mercantile Consulting Venture and made this comment in yesterday's Sask Wheat Weekly Market Update.
Egypt, Algeria, and others were buyers in positions from nearby to December. Egypt was the biggest buyer at 825,000 tons. They bought from France, Romania, Russia, and Bulgaria. The World Bank provided the finances.
Wilton says Russia is also reporting the potential for a big wheat crop. Signal and communication workers at CN Rail are expected to end their 17-day strike and return to work tomorrow morning. In a statement issued yesterday, CN said the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, which represents about 750 of the company's employees across the country, had agreed to take its labor dispute to binding arbitration. IBEW members at CN install and maintain signals and trackside equipment, including the warning systems at railroad highway crossings. The most recent strike to halt CN rail service took place back in 2019 when the company's Teamsters-led conductors and yard workers went on strike for 8 days. Delays to spring seeding in some regions of Saskatchewan opened the door to infestations of flea beetles. Provincial pest management specialist James Tansey says canola crops that were planted later than normal are suffering from flea beetles. However, late seeded canola has been relatively free from them, as infestation depends on the stage that canola plants are in. All regions of Saskatchewan have reported flea beetles, but the northeast and southwest have experienced the highest levels. Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association is calling on the federal and provincial governments to conduct a pricing investigation to address the significant imbalance between live cattle and retail beef prices. Stock Growers President Garner DeBall says there's a disconnect between what producers are receiving for their animals and the high prices consumers are paying for beef products. DeBall says producers are being exploited. And he says producers are tired of working so hard for so little or no return on investment. The severe drought across the prairies has greatly impacted the beef industry. Grass continues to be scarce in several regions, and feed grain and forage prices have doubled from 2 years ago. DeBalt says ranchers and feedlots are operating at a loss, forcing many ag businesses to make difficult decisions to reduce their cattle numbers or even exit the business, which is affecting cattle prices through the supply chain, as well as domestic and export beef prices. DeBalt says the stock growers believe a pricing investigation is the best way to ensure that all livestock value chain members remain profitable. And a partner with Polar Park Farms says if the price of feed grain remains at its current high level, consumers should expect even higher meat prices. A combination of factors, including shortages of locally produced feed grains due to last year's drought, transportation challenges due to COVID, and generally higher global grain prices due to the war in Ukraine, has pushed grain prices to record levels. Florian Posberg with Polar Pork Farms says even at these higher prices, accessing feed grains can be difficult because it just isn't available locally. Posberg says if grain prices are going to be at a higher level long term, there's no question that meat prices will go up because farmers can't produce long term at a loss. He says if grain is in short supply, the price is going to be higher, and that will have to be reflected in our meat prices. And that is today's Ag Review. It's coming up on 12:38 now, 1:38 in Manitoba. A quick break, and then we'll check on today's livestock market conditions after that.
Farming is about balancing what you can and can't control. You know your land and how to get peak optimized growth. For what you can't control, call 306-728-2165. Trustmark Insurance. Trust us with what matters most.
Livestock market conditions.
Now, here are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. August live cattle, $132.92. It was down $1.67 today. October live cattle, $138.47, down $1.50. August feeder cattle, $172.70, down $1.80. September feeder cattle, $176.10 a hundredweight, down $1.55. Lean hog futures were up at the close today. August lean hogs, 105.95, up 297. And October lean hogs closed out the day at 89.40, 100 weight, up 47 cents. And those are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. We'll check the closing grain prices coming up in about 10 minutes from now at 10 to 1, 10 to 2 in Manitoba. Off we go now to Manitoba, where we meet up with Keystone Agricultural Producers President Bill Campbell. Weather, most of it bad, has made for a difficult year for Manitoba farmers. Campbell says producers have had a lot tossed at them this year.
It has been one of the most challenging springs and winters that we've seen in a long time. With the record snowfall around Winnipeg, and then we went into that month of April with three or four Colorado lows that really challenged the beef producers and those in the calving season. And then we had rainfall. I think it was a record or third highest rainfall record for May. So we've had a delayed seeding season. The forages were slow to establish, and I believe that we have seen as the crop insurance deadline approach of June 20th that Manitoba still had 880,000 acres of unseeded areas. So really challenging.
Have the first few weeks of summer here been any better, Bill?
Well, we had a good week after the crop insurance deadline, and I believe there was another 150,000 or something like that acres seeded after that for probably alternative usages or green feed cover and some of that part, and maybe some salvage potholes and different things along that line to establish some green material. But we had a weather disturbance run through Manitoba even as yesterday, and seen downfalls of 2 to 6 inches in various places across the province. And so it has made the spring season and our in-crop applications very challenging with regards to traveling in the fields and with that wind conditions. And we're virtually at the start or just getting going in the haying season, and these rainfalls have really brought about a challenge for widespread haying for winter feed sources.
Now, it's still too early to predict what harvest will bring.
I would anticipate that we would be looking in general the latter part of August before we would see, widespread harvesting happening. We hope that we can get going by then, and hope that there's no other weather conditions that impede us from getting going at that time. But we are going to need some favorable weather this fall to get our crops up in good condition. There's no doubt about that aspect of it.
My guest is Bill Campbell, president of Keystone Agricultural Producers in Manitoba. Campbell says CAP has been busy preparing for the upcoming federal, provincial, and territorial agriculture ministers meeting and Canadian Federation of Agriculture summer meeting coming up later this month in Saskatoon.
There is a tremendous amount of work happening, and in light of the FPT meetings that are going to be happening in Saskatoon in July 18th and 19th, that there's a lot of preparation required, and there's ongoing files with regards to farm labor, farm safety. The issues just don't disappear. And so as we look forward to be ready and prepared to provide information for policy making, that we have the best policy for agriculture represented in those consultations. And so there's always a busy schedule, just like farming.
Campbell says CAP has been working closely with Manitoba Agriculture preparing for the meetings.
Yes, we have had ongoing consultations, and coincidentally, one of the last ones will be next Monday. As we get down to the fine-tuning and the details, but we've probably over a year that we have been meeting with the government and our producers to ensure that the Guelph statement, which was released last fall, some of those issues are addressed, and ensure that farmers' interests are well looked after and dealt with. And we know that there are some agendas that have changed the landscape with this new agreement, and make sure that we are engaged and part of that and not penalized.
Campbell says climate change and the environment will be key discussion points at the Ag Ministers' meetings.
We're all aware of the conversation with climate change, and agriculture has been one of the areas that the federal government has, I wouldn't say targeted, but has been addressed. And so we would like to see the environmental aspects and programs outside of the CAP funding agreement, and that there be environmental issues dealt in their separate from business risk management. And so that's something that I think that the industry has long advocated for. We want to have all of the research and sound science utilized so that we can see beneficial management practices that are used and farmers acknowledged for the good things that they do on the land.
Again, the federal, provincial, territorial agriculture ministers meeting will be held July 18th and 19th in Saskatoon. Nearly every region of Saskatchewan reported some crop hail damage during June. The Canadian Crop Hail Association says it ranged from minor in early stage crops to more significant damage in more mature crops. The Crop Hail Association reports its members are investigating more than 650 claims of crop damage occurring between June 8th and the 25th. We spoke to Tyson Ryerchuk with Rain and Hail Insurance Service. Tyson is also the vice chair of the Canadian Crop Hail Association, and he talks about the June caseload.
Yeah, I would say it's higher than our typical average for sure. The storms that we had seen were more widespread, especially from June 23rd storms and June 29th storms, provided a lot of claims throughout Saskatchewan as a province as a whole. There were multiple cells that touched down in various areas.
How severe was the damage?
I would say largely light to moderate damage, crops being so early in the stage due to being such a late seeding season for much of the eastern portion of the province, hit crops at very early stages, which are very likely to bounce back.
Now, more farmers have purchased crop hail coverage this year. Ryerchuk says there are likely a few reasons why.
You know, a big portion of it is due to hail, but we're seeing record sales through much of the industry this year just due to commodity prices, fuel prices, and fertilizer prices increasing, causes farmers wanting to protect their crops with higher coverage levels.
And finally, looking ahead, we asked Ryerson what's usually the busiest period for crop hail claims.
I would say usually towards the end of July or getting into August there. That's typically our busier time of year, yeah.
Tyson Ryerchuk is vice chair of the Canadian Crop Hail Association. According to the Canadian Crop Hail Association, crop hail claims have been filed in several localities in the GX94 listening area, including Yorkton, Rokenville, Esterhazy, and Mooseman. It's coming up on 1248, 148 in Manitoba. The closing grain prices are next.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down today. November canola, $828.60 a metric ton. That was down $18.20 today. January canola closed at $836.40, down $17.40. September Minneapolis wheat, $8.90 a bushel, down 58 cents today. September Kansas City wheat closed at $862, down 51.5 cents. September Chicago wheat, $8.07 a bushel, down 39 cents. September corn, $5.92 1/4, down 27.5 cents. August soybeans closed today at $14.39 1/4, down 70.5. And September oats, $4.63 1/2, down 41.5 cents. And those are today's closing commodity prices. The general manager of Manitoba Pork suggests building and maintaining relationships with farmers in other countries is one of the most important responsibilities of Canadian agricultural representatives. Cam Dahl suggests farmers and their associations can't do enough to foster these relationships.
The motivation comes from that pressure that we're feeling on our international trade at the moment. And that's, we see that in the thickening, as economists like to say, of the Canada-US border, where it's just a little bit more difficult to move things back and forth, whether that's from vaccine mandates or, other COVID-related issues, or even just plain protectionism. It's getting a little bit more difficult to move product south and product north. And we're also seeing protectionism rise around the world. And those are really things that farmers in Canada and the U.S. should be working together on. We should be delivering similar messages to our governments that integrated North American market is critically important to the livelihoods of farmers on both sides of the border, as well as Canadian consumers.
So who actually needs to be involved in fostering and improving these relationships, Cam?
Traditionally we think of relationships between countries as, that's the responsibility of governments. But it's also the responsibility of farm groups as well, and farm leaders like Manitoba Pork Council and other commodity organizations. And we have a responsibility to build up those relationships. Relationships absolutely matter in everything we do, and to talk about things like what's a common approach to activist pressure on those that don't like modern agriculture or want to see animal agriculture shut down? How do we talk to consumers about some of those messages that are coming out or misinformation coming out about our industry? We need to be working together on those. And the more that we can work together, the more that we can have a common message, the more that we can have a common positive approach to consumers in North America, the more successful we'll be. And that really starts, that collaboration really starts with the relationship building, getting to know the people on both sides of the border, getting to know our counterparts in other organizations, have our farmers get to understand each other a little bit better. And what I'm finding? I'm finding that when we do that, we realize that the issues that producers are facing are the same, whether they're raising pigs in Minnesota and Iowa or in Manitoba.
In terms of communication with the public, where do you see common ground between the Canadian and U.S. pork sectors?
I think a starting point is that integration of the market and how important it is, again, to farmers on both sides of the border that animals and product and feed and supplements and medicine, all those kinds of things that are so important to all of us, that they flow freely across the Canada-U.S. border. And there's pressures on that. And so we need to be approaching our governments to make sure that integration of our markets are preserved. That's a starting point. And also to have a chat about some of those public trust issues, to talk about our improving environmental impact, animal care, to talk about the impact of some of the some of the pressures on our industry, like Proposition 12 in California. And again, we really do have a common approach on our common view on many of these issues, and can be delivering the same messages. I think it's really important to do so.
We asked Dahl about the potential benefits of the two sectors in Canada and the U.S. working together.
I think, I like to be positive, but I'm going to approach this from the other way. I think the cost of not doing this is enormously high, or at least the potential cost is enormously high. Again, we depend upon this integrated market. I'm just going to take Manitoba, for example. 90% of the pigs that we raise are exported, whether that's and packages around the world, or the 3.5 million pigs that leave Manitoba every year that go into the U.S. And we need to make sure that those markets stay open and those borders stay open. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. And the downside of not carrying out this work is really quite large. And if we don't respond to some of the pressures that we're seeing on some of these public trust issues and really work to get to show consumers that we share their values. We share their values on environment. We share their values on animal care, and that we're, you know, working towards achieving those goals. If we don't do that, again, the cost will be high. So the benefits is preserving that public trust, enhancing that public trust, keeping our markets open, keeping that Canada-U.S. integration. Those are the benefits, and the cost of not doing so is high.
And finally, Dahl tells us how we can get more information.
Well, I think, and this isn't just hog producers, you know, any producer in Manitoba is welcome to contact Manitoba Pork and talk about ways of that we can work together with our partners in the U.S. But it also applies to all commodity organizations. You know, this is an important relationship with across whether you're growing grains and oilseeds or you're producing beef. It's a critical relationship. So I would encourage farmers to get in touch with their commodity organizations and have those conversations.
Cam Dahl is general manager of Manitoba Pork. The Farm Bulletin Board is coming up next.
Farm Bulletin Board.
East Central Research Foundation has their annual crop plot tour coming up next week, next Thursday, July 14th. It kicks off at 9 in the morning. After the tour, there's a pre-barbecue. Some of the topics to be addressed during the crop tour. Mike Hall will speak on split N on wheat. Mitchell Japp, barley agronomy. Again, Mike Hall will talk about managing phosphorus in flax. Laura Christensen, Green Miller's oat varieties. Breanne McInnes will talk about canary seed agronomy. Charlotte Ward will address intercropping cereal forages, among just some of the presentations that you'll hear while visiting the crop plots. Again, that's happening next Thursday, July 14th. At the East Central Research Farm. Kicks off at 9 in the morning. Now you're asked to please RSVP by calling or texting 306-621-6032, 306-621-6032, or you can email contact@ecrf.ca if you're interested in attending the Yorkton Crop Plot Tour next week. And also, the Western Development Museum in Yorkton has announced that they're going back to the farm on Saturday, July 30th. Volunteers from the Yorkton Threshermen's Club and the Western Development Museum will provide value-added experiences for museum visitors, including the operation of various vintage tractors from the museum collection, binding the crop, and plowing the backfield, as well as other activities to be announced. Activities are included with your regular museum admission and free for museum members. Now, traditionally, the August long weekend has been filled with the sights and sounds of the Threshermen's Show and Seniors Festival. Although the partnering organizations had anticipated hosting the event once again, they're pressing pause for this year. They're fortunate that their dedicated volunteers are putting forth tremendous effort and enthusiasm for the full event to return in August of next year. But again, this year's August long weekend, the Threshermen Show and Seniors Festival is being put on pause until next year. But back to the farm, still happening. That's July 30th between noon and 4 at the Western Development Museum in Yorkton. And that is today's Farm Bulletin Board. We'll close out GX on Agriculture Now with our Agriculture Weather, a presentation of Yorkton Ag and Auto. GX94's precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly sunny this afternoon, wind east-southeast 15 to 25, high 20. Becoming cloudy again tonight, 30% chance of isolated showers, wind southeast 15 to 25 again, overnight low 14. 40% chance of spotty showers tomorrow, high 23. Partly sunny Thursday, up to 22. 40% chance of spotty showers Friday, 23 degrees. Sunny and warmer as we head into the weekend. Shoot for a high on Saturday near 27. On this hour's temperature roundup, 19 in the Paw and Dauphin. 20 degrees this hour in Swan River along with Brandon and Hudson Bay. 16 for Shoal Lake, Russell, Regina, Roblin, 17. We have Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head at 15. Regina, Saskatoon, 16. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 14 degrees. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's still overcast. The wind is east 15 to 22. Relative humidity, 80%. Our current temperature is 16 degrees. That's our time for today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture. It's time now for the GX 94 News and Sports Headlines.
You've been listening to the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.